This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptical prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 19, Rob Zombie Apocalypse, House of 1,000 Corpses, and the Devil's Rejects.
Right, so I guess we'll start with the first one in the sequence, and that's the House of 1,000 Corpses.
Well, I guess you could say, I was thinking when I revisited these, that they're kind of the unofficial sequels to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, mm-hmm. right in front of us is a copy of Chainsaw Confidential, mm-hmm. how we made the world's most notorious horror movie. And this is, I mean, you got the family of mm-hmm. misfits in Texas. The Fireflies, and mm-hmm. it seems like this is the sequel that really should have been made to honor the legacy of Chainsaw.
Yeah,
but I mean, it exists in its own right as well as a unique piece of filmmaking, but it's really, really terrific.
I'm going to say, I mean, right away, I'm going to tell you that, I mean, these films, I mean, particularly House of 1,000 Corpses, has a lot of detractors. A lot of people criticize it, and a lot of people say that it rips off TCM. But, I mean, you know what?
It's like an extended music video.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just indulgent yeah. stuff. But, I mean,
It's in the watch. I mean, as you said before, this should be like, you know, the unofficial sequel. I will say that when I first saw the movie, like, I remember when it was released, and, I mean, it was, falling horror at the time, I kept hearing the Rob Zombie, House of 1,000 Corpses. I mean, this guy's going to bring back like hard horror, and like it's going to be like this is going to be the new TCM. And the thing was filmed in 2000; it wasn't released until 2003. They had a big battle with the MPAA, et cetera, et cetera. When it finally was released, it was released with a bit of a whimper. I mean, here in Toronto, it only played at like one cinema, and I think it was just played at the Bloor. And then when I saw it, I was disappointed. I got to say, I really was not impressed. However, revisiting it, I realize what a great movie it is. We'll get to Devil's Rejects later, which I think is even better, but let's start with House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah, it's sort of TCM meets Las Vegas. It's got like a neon aesthetic that's really super cool. I guess
they
filmed it in a diner, and then they built a set entirely around it. But yeah, it focuses on this family.
It's a demented carnival ride.
Carnival family.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I mean, when the film opens up, we see the amazing Sid Haig, who plays Captain Spaulding,
mm-hmm.
and he's this kind of weird eccentric local kook, right?
Well, he looks like sort of an 80s wrestler.
Yeah, well, I mean,
he operates a giant gut. And
he operates Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen and Fried Chicken and Gasoline. Mm-hmm. And, the guy's dressed as a clown. And obviously, you know, clowns in horror movies are always never really good news. But, I mean, okay, just a word about Sid Haig. I mean, this guy is a genre legend. I mean, he's appeared in some amazing films of Spider Baby, Foxy Brown, some of my favorite Corman WIP films, Big Dollhouse, Big Birdcage. And, everybody, I mean, Mama Firefly, played by Karen Black. I mean, she was in Easy Rider.
Yeah.
She was in Nashville. And she's also in this really amazing made-for-TV movie that's probably the scariest made-for-TV movie ever called Trilogy of Terror. So those are two of the family, but there's more. So, let's get into the plot of House of 1,000 Corpses.
I guess your usual collection of nerds on a road trip.
Yep, yeah. One of them played by Rainn Wilson from The Office.
Yeah, from The Office.
Played Dwight, yep.
And they're, I guess, looking for, they're, I guess, self-styled hipster travel writer types. And they're going around trying to find stuff on the roadside to see, like these sort of attractions, the kooky America. It's very patronizing, sort of, let's go see, you know.
You mentioned hipster, and that's another thing I sort of rank false to me with this film, is that it's supposed to take place in 1977. It didn't feel period, you know, specific.
Period, no.
Not at all. That's one of the debits of this movie, but, you know.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to give it that sort of newsreel feel. So everything's yellow and has that look of being in the 70s, but you get these sort of guys who could easily write for Yelp or one of these review, crowdsource review
Sites. Salon writers or something. Salon, whatever.
And then they're looking.
Pitchfork Media.
they're looking for the off-the-beaten-track attractions, and they want to find out more about this Dr. Satan.
Right, so they stumble across Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen, and they hear about the
legend. Which looks like just an incredibly fun place
I would go there in a heartbeat, dude. And yeah, so they hear about the legend of the local killer, Dr. Satan, and all of a sudden they're out on the hunt for Dr. Satan.
Yeah, their interest is piqued.
And, then as they're on looking for Dr. Satan's tree, I believe it was, they come across a comely hitchhiker. Now, if horror movies have taught us anything else,
pick up hitchhikers.
Don't pick up hitchhikers,
regardless of how comely.
Yeah, and this comely hitchhiker is played by Sherry Moon Zombie, the wife of Rob Zombie.
Yeah,
and she lures him back to her house.
She does a lot of luring. That's her function for the Firefly family.
She's alluring. That's for sure.
very good.
So again, so it shades the TCM. I mean, they pick up a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker turns out to be batshit insane.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have some vehicular problems, right? Which was caused by, an outside force. But anyhow, and then before you know it, they're in Mama Firefly's house.
Yeah, trying to get help, see who has access to a phone. Again, luckily it's the 70s, so you don't have that. Don't have to deal with the red herring of everyone having a cell phone and just being able to call AAA and just get you right by the side of the road and now, save you from these Hills Have Eyes type lunatics.
Right. Now, speaking of calls, I mean, one of the kids, Denise, does make a call. She makes a call to her father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And saying, she'll be home shortly.
And never say that.
That definitely comes to play later. So another member of this clan is Otis. And Otis is played by Bill Moseley, who's best known for playing the character of Chop Top in TCM2. I mean, that's one of the most indelible characters in horror history.
He's got this hair like a riffraff from...
Yeah, indeed.
From Rocky Horror, it's gray.
That's going to come into when we talk about Devil's Rejects. I'm going to talk about his sort of like his metamorphosis, his transformation. But yeah, in this one, he's very much like this sort of like emaciated, almost like jaundiced kind of weird character.
Yeah.
Manson-esque in the sense. Like,
yeah.
But he... The thing also going on in town is that there's five cheerleaders missing. Well, where are the five cheerleaders? I mean, they're being tormented by Otis. And So continuing with Chris.
Well, I guess we should reference the Marx Brothers, because no slaughter film is complete without referencing Duck Soup and all that. But the characters' names are based on
Captain Spaulding,
on Marx Brothers films,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting. And that's a theme that Zombie revisits in Devil's Rejects.
Right.
You got Otis and Hugo and Spaulding.
Yep.
It's kind of an interesting little nod. I mean, I love the Marx Brothers.
I'm not as big a fan of Marx Brothers, but
oh, come on. Groucho Marx, just classic character.
Well, the only Groucho Marx movie I've seen, and this was actually referenced in Devil's Rejects, is Skidoo.
Oh,
which was one of the most wrong-headed movies made by Otto Preminger.
So you didn't visit any of his classics?
I've never seen Duck Soup or any of those movies.
Oh, my God, check him out. Incredible.
Yeah, well, if you want to see a real piece of shit movie, go see Skidoo. If you want to see Jackie Gleason tripping on acid for about 20 minutes... That's
well,
your movie.
I'll stick to the golden age of the Marx Brothers. Thank you very much.
Okay, so, the thing is, basically, this Firefly clan is up to no good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, before you know it, Dwight's character, whatever his name is, Rain Wilson, he becomes like this, they turn into like this merman type character, sort of like a fish boy, and, they're torturing and terrorizing everybody else, and, the TCM, homages continue because Denise's father does come looking, and he brings some of the local
constabulary who are pretty ineffectual.
Oh yeah,
pretty lame police officers who are just afraid of everything.
Right. Well, one whose name is Wydell, and that will figure when we discuss Devil's Rejects. But anyway, at one point when Otis comes down and to torment poor Denise some more, he's wearing the skin of her father.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. The other thing that's interesting too is that there's a lot of cutaway shots, right? A lot of gritty, grainy sort of. Did you know that those cutaway shots were all filmed in Rob Zombie's basement?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So after filming, like, principal photography concluded, they grabbed a 60mm and did all those weird sort of, you know, quick cutaways that kind of left with this weird sort of distasteful feeling. They're all filmed in Zombie's basement. So, and eventually we do see Dr. Satan. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Satan, he was inspired by the character of Dr. Freudstein from Lucio Fulci's House by the Cemetery.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's another really cool thing. The other thing I want to mention is the character of Tiny.
Really, really cool.
And yeah. Tiny was played by Matthew McGorry.
And obviously now, ironically named, as he's about 7 feet
right.
tall.
Now, are you a Howard Stern listener?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember Bigfoot?
Yes.
The original Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
That was Matthew McGorry.
Interesting.
And he played Tiny. He also played Tiny in this and in Devil's Rejects. He also played a really good part of another movie I really like, which is nowhere near genre, but Big Fish, Tim Burton. And he was filming a biopic of Andre the Giant when he passed away at the age of 34.
He was filming a biopic of Andre.
He was.
He was not playing Andre.
Oh, he was going to be Andre. This guy was 7'6". Matthew
He's
Gorey.
Nowhere near 500 pounds.
Well, I don't know why.
Is that the criterion for playing Andre? Is you have to be 7 feet tall?
Well, I don't know. But anyway,
he's the skinniest guy.
That's true. But
I guess you can always put on muscle.
Yeah,
Will Smith did for Muhammad Ali.
Exactly. But yeah, the poor guy passed away at the age of 34 heart failure. But
he's kind of a sympathetic character. He lets one of the abductees loose at one point, and he's sort of it's kind of a. The sort of pathos and humanity he sort of has. It's kind of akin to, I mean, I guess Leatherface himself.
Yeah.
Although not nearly as, you know. Yeah, he's not nearly as crazy.
But he is pretty deformed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Devil's Rejects was dedicated to the memory of Matthew McGorry. I mean, I enjoyed listening to him on Howard Stern. I mean, he was part of the Whack Pack. And Do you want to give us a star rating and then go into Devil's Rejects, or what do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
Excellent entry point into this series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should get a little more credit than it's due. I mean, people, as you said, like...
It was vilified.
Oh, a TCM ripoff.
Yeah,
It's a, you know...
It's an exercise in style over substance, et cetera, et cetera. Very MTV, quick cuts.
Yeah, quick cuts, just music video. But it's really a kind of a homage to the genre. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
really cool, full of neon.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about films set in Texas that's just really incredible.
Well, there's one scene that I remember, when I first saw the movie Stay With Me, and when I revisited it, I just really how fucking effective was this scene. That was that protracted shot of that one policeman. Do you remember that? When he was... Was it Otis who had a gun through his head?
Yes, and then they sort of pan out.
Yep.
It's like an aerial view when he gets executed.
And it's like
really chilling.
2 minutes of silence.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just pow.
You know?
That was effective.
It was incredible.
That was incredible.
And then the whole like carnival motif, too, mm-hmm. because in Toronto, I guess, in the 1920s, we have an ongoing thing called the Canadian National Exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a World's Fair type thing. It's got rides. It's got... cotton candy and games and all that stuff, but in the 80 years ago they used to have a freak show there.
Yeah.
So they used to have some of it was gimmicky, like the man eating chicken. Oh, come see the man eating chicken, but it's
woman,
a guy who's actually eating chicken.
Yeah, or the woman who
the bearded lady and all that. So I love that kind of stuff.
Oh, I did too. I remember seeing like the world's fattest man, Fat Albert, there at the scene. And he actually was in the Guinness Book World Records. His name was they call him Fat Albert. I mean,
this thing actually went on for quite a bit longer than it maybe should have.
This was a different time. I remember watching.
Yeah, it was a different time.
I go in there and my father pays the money. I go to see Fat Albert, and the poor guy is sitting there eating fried chicken, lots of fried chicken, pure exploitation.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's something to be said about that kind of freak show aesthetic.
Rob Zombie's a talented man.
Yep.
And his band is great too.
Yeah, and
his videos are great too. They're scary as hell.
And his wife is sexy as hell.
Too. Yeah, and he featured Sherry Zombie, I guess Sherry Moon.
Sherry Moon Zombie,
in his videos. So,
yep. Like, yeah, that's where they met, mm-hmm. I guess. Yep. So, I mean, it's funny, because like I said before, when I first saw the movie, I was somewhat disappointed. I was expecting something more visceral, more... But when I revisited it just a few days ago, I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
It was a lot better than I remembered. So I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and you?
I guess, the same. And and I guess when we talk about Devil's Rejects...
Which for about two.
Yeah, the family is has to deal with law enforcement, and this has to be the world's worst SWAT team that is enlisted to go in and take out the Firefly family. Mm. They are just terrible.
Well, this is, yeah.
They come in, guns a-blazing, and you'd think they would have some sort of strategy or bulletproof vest to go in and, yeah. and or shields or,
some
or tanks
sort of modus operandi or
yeah
something,
they don't they just shoot and they actually call out to them as if this is sort of something like a hostage taking mm-hmm. situation so yeah. you know just you know give up right now we're coming to get you like the old west kind mm-hmm. of thing but it takes them I guess 20 minutes 30 minutes of losing their own men and just sort of mindless shooting before they throw in a grenade mm-hmm. and so yeah and these Firefly guys are resourceful.
Yeah.
They've got, they're armed to the tits, and not only armed, but they've got body armor as yeah. well. So the one guy's got this sort of Monty Python-esque mm-hmm. sort of knight,
yeah,
you know, like body plate armor. So he can't just be taken out easily. But yeah. anyway, they managed to extricate themselves you know, from this barrage of although the, you know.
Yeah, before and
show of police
totally.
Force.
So, I mean, this is basically the Fireflies basically hit the road, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to escape law enforcement. But a couple things that, I mean, it's funny because, like, when you look at, again, here we go with Texas Chainsaw parallels. I mean, Texas Chainsaw was gritty, you know, it was, you know, like, basically, like, you know, hard horror. Whereas part two was a sort of carnivalesque, sort of burlesque, sort of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This is the reverse,
yeah.
You know, whereas part one was that, but yeah. then now we got the real gritty, hard horror, right?
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, I mean, the Fireflies do escape, and I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, I guess Rob Zombie, I don't know if he, you know, was reacting to the criticism of the first one. Everybody's so much more vicious in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Otis overnight goes from this like this emaciated, jaundiced. You know,
yeah, he gained a bit of weight, I guess.
All of a sudden, he becomes like this buff guy, this full beard.
Yeah.
Like, now he's full man. So I mean, now he's fucking scary. You know what I mean? We'll get to Captain Spaulding later, but he becomes you know pretty. He becomes a lot more scary than he was in the first one.
And then law enforcement is more scary too because the sibling of the deceased lawman from the first
Rydell,
one is
yep.
back to mm-hmm. wreak havoc, and he's played by. Forsyth.
William Forsyth, yeah.
Yeah, and interestingly, because we talked about clowns and they're scary and everything, but I guess Bill Forsyth played John Wayne Gacy, who's, I guess, the quintessential murdering clown who, in Texas, I think he's responsible for the deaths of like 40 people. Mm-hmm. So he's might be part of the reason people fear clowns if they weren't scary enough. I mean, I feared clowns.
Well, there was also Poltergeist. There was Pennywise.
True, but
you know?
Fictional depictions, but
yeah, exactly,
actually
yeah.
murdering clowns. So, but his character maybe takes this film to a whole new level. That was incredible. He's almost as twisted as the family themselves.
Pretty much,
out for vengeance. He's a psychopath as
he
well.
He is a psychopath. Yeah,
he's a torturing like. You know, he might as well suit up for the, you know, LAPD or something.
Yeah. no offense to our listeners in Los Angeles. But anyhow, I mean, so yeah, all the principal cast has returned for this one, except for one, and that's Karen Black. She had a salary dispute with Rob Zombie, so she's replaced by Leslie Easterbrook, who was in the Police Academy series.
Oh, I thought Bill Moseley wasn't in it because he's so...
He's so different, I know.
He's so different, yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it's a total...
The physical transformation.
When we first see the guy, I mean, before the SWAT team comes in, I mean, the guy's in bed with a corpse, you know?
Yeah.
Right away, there's a tonal shift. Like, we know it's one of the dead cheerleaders, and, like, we know that this is going to be something really, really, like, balls-to-the-wall, hard horror. So, I mean, they escape. I mean, not Mama
Barely,
Firefly.
Yeah.
She gets caught, but, I mean, Otis escapes...
Yeah, the rest
baby
of the family,
escapes,
yeah.
And, you know, they also hook up with Captain Spaulding later on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, so funny, so funny. We should mention the Mayor Warrenoff cameo.
Yeah, very briefly, the former Warhol factory girl.
Who we keep talking about a lot for some
yeah.
reason.
Yeah. She's given a little tribute here, and she's in one of my favorites, Eating Raoul.
Uh-huh, one of my Rock and Roll High School, yeah.
Yeah, Rock and Roll High School. She's very, very quickly butchered.
Yep.
And she has all of, what, a minute and a half of screen time
yeah.
playing
and
nurse.
Speaking of Rock and Roll High School, another alum from that one,
PJ
Souls, has a bit of a cameo as well.
Yeah.
She's carjacked by Spaulding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
one cast member of Three's Company has a cameo.
Priscilla Barnes,
more than
yeah.
a cameo. She's
oh my God.
A lead role.
Well, I mean, the thing with Priscilla Barnes, I mean, I guess her claim to fame was replacing Suzanne Somers on Three's Company. Her scene, I mean,
yeah. By the time the series had really jumped the shark. At
oh
that
yeah,
point.
Well, yeah. But I mean, yes and no, because I mean, I really did like the Frilly years, but more than the Roper years,
yeah.
And you know, Suzanne Somers was part of the Roper years, so I really preferred the Frilly
years. How often
years.
Could you fool? Mr. Furley into, you know, thinking you're gay, or I don't know. That was the plot of just every episode.
Did you ever see the episode Three's Company where there was a misunderstanding?
Oh, yeah. That one episode, right?
That was elusive. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we digress, you know. What were we talking about again? Cameos.
Yeah, cameos and Three's Company. And
yeah, awesome. Again, like Ken Forey is in this one.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a bordello owner who's... he's supposed to be the brother of Otis. I guess he's a brother from another mother. You know, sorry, the brother of Captain Spaulding.
Could have been a half brother.
And Michael Berryman, who from The Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm. He's in this makes sense. Too. It's very similar stylistically to The Hills Have Eyes.
Mm-hmm. There's also Danny Trejo, of course. Most people know from Machete himself, mm-hmm. and Diamond Dallas Page.
And his giant Danny Trejo has this giant like guy in a, wearing a sombrero tattoo across his chest.
Well, that's a real tattoo,
which is incredible. And I guess I don't know what he did time for, but he was a long time inmate at San Quentin,
and all his ink is prison ink.
Yeah,
I actually watched a documentary about ink, and they were talking about prison ink in L.A. And yep, it's all prison ink.
He may be 5'6", but he did a long time at San Quentin, and he was a champ prison boxer. So mm-hmm. we should just say, don't mess with Danny Trejo.
Don't mess with Danny Trejo, and don't mess with DDP either.
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page. I guess he and Trejo are these sort of mercenaries that this corrupt cop enlists to help take down the Firefly family. Mm-hmm. Kind of a neat bit of casting. He's looking very weathered. And he's a wrestler who looks like the wrestler.
Well, the funny thing about DDP is he didn't even like become the top superstar. The guy was like 50.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's
still working.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he was in the last Royal Rumble.
He was, yeah.
Jesus.
Another cameo is ex-porn star Ginger Lynn.
Yeah, Ginger Lynn is sort of in an unsavory sex scene, dream sequence with Captain Spaulding.
Yeah.
And it's pretty graphic, I think.
It is graphic.
If I'm not mistaken, well, they do show his balls, and I didn't want to say there's penetration, but it definitely looked like there was, and I wouldn't put it past her given what's been inside her. But if it wasn't the case that was real sex, I mean, they pulled the wool over on me.
And then, when he wakes up, it's funny because when the dream sequence ends, I mean, she basically pulls out a gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is threatening him. And then he wakes up and he's sleeping with this, rather, I'd say, Zuftig woman.
For lack of a better term. For those of you not familiar with Yiddish, yeah, Zuftig. Yeah, portly.
Definitely not Ginger Lynn. And she's like, well, we're having a nightmare. Goes, sort of, good, bad.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Ginger Lynn, I mean, she would have been triple, quadruple penetrated in her previously in her mm-hmm. Previous career, but she had a problem pulling the gun on Captain Spaulding during the filming of that. Mm-hmm. So given her storied career as a porn actress, that would be the thing she has the problem with. Oh, I draw the line at that. But they managed to convince her otherwise. So
they're on the run. I mean, so we got the Fireflies on the
run. Yeah, they're kidnapping people
and causing havoc. They take the singing.
Baby is luring, you know, while luring.
Exactly.
As you said.
And they take the singing group hostage. And, this
sort of
this
failed
family,
country band.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No. Did you know I took Johnny Cash's hand? Like, that's
their claim to fame.
But anyway, so the one of the members of the group is Priscilla Barnes of Three's Company,
mm-hmm.
and there is a harrowing scene
where she's forced to strip.
Forced to strip at gunpoint by Otis.
A gun pointed in her, in her panties. That's incredibly harrowing.
Yeah. It's really like that's hard. I mean it takes a lot to make me feel uncomfortable. But I remember seeing it for the first time.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
And even revisiting it, I was like, credit to Priscilla Barnes for agreeing to do that scene because that took a lot of courage. I mean, that was a rough scene.
That was rough.
Yep. And then there's another scene I love where a couple of the members of the group, Otis basically lures them out to some out of the way place, and he's going to. He wants them to, like, dig up a cache of weapons or something.
Yeah.
And, they're as good as dead, right? And,
And the one guy, to his credit, uh-huh. even though he's sort of an effete, sort of musician type,
yep.
to his credit, he fights back.
Yeah.
He nearly gets the better of Otis.
And then,
he's
but then,
cool.
But he nearly gets the better, but then he goes, at the end of it all, he goes, fuck you, right? And Otis goes, oh, that's what all they all say, fuck you! Like,
yeah.
Just totally mocking him. And then, of course, what about Baby throwing the knife right in, Priscilla Barnes' chest. That was awesome, too.
That was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, and then there's, I mean, again, there's another sort of TCM homage, another person wearing the skin of another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want to say too much about it.
Never isn't scary. It's always scary.
It works all the time. It works all the time, man. Yeah, and I mean, this, you know, this whole thing basically leads up to like a cool sort of Bonnie and Clyde type ending, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like
riding off into the sunset and knowing you're going to meet your maker, yeah, and just guns a-blazing. You know,
great,
going out, yep, and just balls to the wall.
Great use of music as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like a, you know, really good like Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know.
Yeah, and earlier, I guess the, from the opening credits, you got your Midnight Rider, is
right,
one of my favorite Allman Brothers songs.
And then it closes with Tuesday's Gone, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The Devil's Rejects is fucking awesome.
And yeah, they're both fucking awesome.
The first time I saw Corpses, I was like, yes, I'm not crazy about this. I'm like, okay, this is what I was waiting for. Now I've reassessed Devil's Rejects. Sorry, House of Thousand Corpses.
They're beautiful companion pieces to one another.
They're
as
amazing,
well,
yeah. It's great. And another one of my favorite lines, Chris, Tutti fucking Frutti.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, incredible.
Tutti fucking Frutti, yeah. Tutti fucking Frutti.
Yeah.
Anyway, you gotta see the movie. And,
amazing.
So
Baby is just frightening.
Baby.
Her voice is unbelievably intense and
yep,
scary, and she's just...
Chinese,
you know,
Japanese.
Yeah, dirty knees.
Look
yeah,
at these.
Look at
yeah,
these. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yep.
Just, yeah.
So just great, great stuff. I mean, you know, Rob Zombie, I mean, like I said, the guy gets a lot of flack. I mean, some of it deservedly so, because I'm not a big fan of his Halloween, you know,
reboot
remakes.
Which, yeah, I was a little more...
you like them a bit more than I do.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I really like Lords of Salem. That was his last film he directed. It got
raked over the coals.
People
for sure
hate that movie. Everyone I know hates that movie, except for the only person I know who likes that movie
is Rob Zombie?
Well, no, I mean, again,
Sherry Moon?
Our buddy Lewis from Suspect. Mm-hmm. But, like... everybody else hates the movie. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I hope Rob Zombie continues to, you know, continue. I mean, whatever. I mean, say what you will. I mean, whether you like Rob Zombie, you don't like Rob Zombie, whether you like his music, you hate his music, whether you like his films, you don't like his film. The guy loves horror.
He loves it. He's got phenomenal talent.
He lives, breathes
yeah,
horror. And, I mean, this guy, I mean, there's so much shit being put out there. Horror by committee, people that don't have any sort of love for the genre whatsoever. Rob Zombie loves the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's going to pay homage, I mean, he's not ripping off, he's paying homage. I mean, this guy, you know, he's one of the great directors we have right now. I mean, when it comes to making horror movies. So,
I'll take him over Eli Roth any day.
I would tend
to
agree.
It's not even a contest.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, I mean, I'm going to get, you know, again, it's our Patton 5-star rating scale, Devil's Rejects. What do you give it, Chris?
I would say 4.5 for both. The little detraction for me was sort of a Gene Shalit kind of weird film critic
yeah,
that they got in to just abuse. Just, you know, Rob Zombie's sort of above this. He doesn't need to lash out his critics. The guy's a bona fide fucking great filmmaker. So that was a little detraction. But yeah, it's just stylistically, take your pick. I prefer sort of more slow moving traditional horror versus the Natural Born Killers horror Devil's Reject, but you can't. It's like Sophie's Choice. Like,
yep,
I love them both. 4.5 for both for
okay,
me, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I would give this one 4.5. I prefer this one over House of a Thousand Corpses. As I said before, there was a time when I would say that Corpses kind of sucked and Rejects was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, revisiting it, I think Corpses was fucking awesome and this one's fucking brilliant. I mean, this is 4.5. I mean, but then again, you got to see both. I mean, you can't, you know,
yeah,
you would be ill-served if you only saw Devil's Rejects and
for sure,
or vice versa. So
they're like a dramaturgical dyad.
Yeah.
Oh, not really. But, you know, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, Itchy and Scratchy, whatever. And you can't separate the two. They're just,
no, they're just great 1-2 punch.
Yeah, he should do a third. Why not?
Well, I mean, you know, the Fireflies, well, we don't want to spoil anything. But
no, okay.
No,
let's not. Anyway, for more, check out our site at reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank you.